I tend to think of the Gosling as a poem. The critical opening phrase of this poem will always be the grip, which the hands unite to form a single unit. Slowly and slowly, the club head is led back, pulled into position not by the hands, but by the body, which turns away from the target, shifting weight to the right side without shifting balance. Tempo is everything, perfection unattainable. As the body coils now to the top of the swing, there's a slight hesitation, a little nod to the gods. Now the weight begins shifting back to the left, pulled by the powers inside the earth. It's alive, this swing, a living sculpture, and down through contact, always down, striking the ball crisply, with character. There's only one other acceptable theory about how to hit a golf ball.
Oh, boy. Well, what's the other theory?
Grip it and rip it.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, here's Hardy.
Well, this is awkward because just yesterday, I believe it was a combination of Adam Jones and maybe Joe Murray, who you just heard there on the DraftKings Over-Under show. Bankroll Boys called me out for having an intro that is very, very long for the Sports Hub Golf Club. And I sit here this morning, defiant, still using the intro after I've called out Adam Jones in his, what seems to be just an obnoxiously long intro to his program that he used to use multiple times throughout his show. And, so for me to have a long intro also, yeah, hypocritical, sure. Am I still going to use it? Yes. Good morning. I don't know if you're playing today, literally and figuratively. I don't know if you're playing today. You might think you're playing today in the New England area, but it does not look suitable for golf in many parts of the region for many parts of the day. Tomorrow's going to be a much better day, which is why I'm glad I got mine in yesterday after the morning show. But let's get right to the BMW Championship this morning. We're going to talk about what happened at the Northern Trust last week. We're going to talk about Phil Mickelson, a very, very interesting story from women's golf, and a guest this morning, Tyler Lagasse, who is a Special Olympian, an amazing golfer who just had a hole-in-one yesterday. This is unbelievable. I talked with Tyler earlier in the week. You'll hear our conversation, and there's a way to challenge Tyler right now through what's called the Gold Medal Golf Challenge. But you'll hear my conversation with Tyler, who is just a fantastic player. And there's a way to play golf with him right now virtually in these strange times that we're in right now. But that'll be coming up about 8:30 here this morning on the Sports Hub Golf Club. We begin, though, with the BMW Championship. You heard Joe Murray mention it a few minutes ago that Patrick Cantlay is actually at the top of the leaderboard right now, as he is, let's see, we will go in relation to what's happening today, where he's already there we go, thank you. Round three will begin a little bit later. This is being held at the Olympia Fields Country Club in Illinois. Patrick Cantlay and Rory McIlroy both one under par. They share the top spot. Quite a bit different from what happened at the Northern Trust last weekend, which we will get to momentarily. Hideki Matsuyama, who had a great opening round 67 on a very difficult setup, followed that up with a 73. So this is a par 70 golf course. Hideki Matsuyama is even for the tournament, along with Dustin Johnson, who, of course, was the story last weekend. So that's what's happening at round two of what is now a three-round FedEx Cup playoff system. Patrick Cantlay, Rory McIlroy, both tied at one under par. Last week's winner, Dustin Johnson, is in a tie for second with Hideki Matsuyama. There were some notable big numbers that were shot out there over the course of a couple of days. Tiger Woods getting a lot of attention. He is 8 over for the tournament. He shot 73-75. And this is different now. When we get to this point of the FedEx Cup, there's no cut, obviously. There are guys out there who are, 18 over par, Mark Leishman and stuff like that. But this is a playoff system where only the top 70 advance. So, they'll just continue on as is. But some other, big numbers from good players. Colin Morikawa, 76-73. Charles Howell III shot a pair of 75s. Matt Kuchar, 75-76. Cameron Smith, who has been playing well, 75-73. Justin Thomas, a 73 and a 74. Much different setup going on there in Illinois than they saw last week at the Northern Trust. Now, as we all know, Dustin Johnson, course record for the tournament, 30 under par for the four rounds. And this came on the heels of the single round course record being shot earlier in the tournament on Friday after Scottie Scheffler shot a 59 and Dustin Johnson carded a 60 that day himself. We talked about it a lot last weekend. And there were conversations, notably Maz and I, just having a friendly argument. Maz said, the course is a joke. You know, it's ridiculous. Look at that. Scottie Scheffler shoots a 59 the same day Dustin Johnson shoots a 60. And I argued it was anomalous that those two guys going low on that one day had, of course, something to do with the golf course being receptive to certain shots and birdies and eagles. Of course, it has something to do with it. But there were plenty of other players in round two who either shot big numbers or shot big numbers after they had gone low on Thursday. And there were a lot of examples out there. I don't want to rehash them now, but it was not easy for everybody. It was easy for Scottie Scheffler and Dustin Johnson on that day. Now, with regard to the 30 under par score, how ridiculous was that? Well, once again, I say for Dustin Johnson, you put him on virtually any golf course that suited his game that week, he was going to shoot some outrageously low monster number. Now, of course, it's going to vary from course to course, but he won the tournament by 11 strokes. Harris English, who I had forgotten over the course of 5 days here, who the runner-up was at the Northern Trust back on Sunday. Harris English was your runner-up at 19 under par. Daniel Berger finished at 18 under. Kevin Kisner and Scottie Scheffler. Once again, Scottie Scheffler, who had a 59 on Friday, was only 17 under for the tournament. Only 17 under. But he shot a 71 on Sunday when Dustin Johnson was out there carding a 63. So for Dustin Johnson, yes, that you could argue that Dustin Johnson made a mockery of that setup and that course at TPC Boston at this year's Northern Trust. But I argue that Dustin Johnson would have made a mockery out of any setup or any golf course playing like he was. And the biggest evidence I have for that argument is the fact that he won the tournament by 11 strokes. I mean, is Pebble Beach an easy golf course? Well, it was for Tiger Woods back in 2000 when he shot 12 under par and won the U.S. Open by 15 shots. Nearest competitor was 2 over. Is Pebble Beach a joke? Of course not. It's one player who finds something remarkably 4 days in a row. 67, 60, 64, 63. Those were Dustin Johnson's scorecards for those 4 days. Now, I had other conversations with other people, golfers, professionals, otherwise, and I said, what do you think TPC Boston, and the head professional was on with us last weekend here. And if you've been down there, you know just what an amazing facility. And you know, everything from the clubhouse to the grounds to the course and the setup, the greenskeepers, the super, it is a premier golf course and facility for the region. That you can't argue. But my question was, do you think they had their face reddened a little bit by that? And I think it was my friend Tony who said, they don't care. Did it look good on TV? And did the pros like playing there? You know what? Yes. And yes, I think a lot of them did. Now, they also have the benefit of being part of the FedEx Cup playoff system. And hopefully they will. I say hopefully they will again, on a yearly basis, and at the very, very least, this every other year schedule that the PGA started last year. But they don't have to necessarily like it if they want to be in, if they are part of the FedEx Cup playoff system, they have to go play there anyway. If they go to just another regular tour event, which I would actually be in favor of, so you can have, we can have a tournament every year at TPC Boston. Will the players like playing there? I think so, because the golf course sets up for many of them in a fair way where they can shoot good numbers. And yes, once again, part of this is, how does it look on TV? It looks great. So those are some of the major hurdles, or maybe the only two major hurdles that you have to clear in terms of, you know, what they're thinking about post-tournament. And there's a lot of other conversations, I'm sure, at, you know, higher levels, but they're not complaining about the golf course when they get off at all. That is not the issue. Okay, what about this year in particular? Wow. Oh, come on. Dustin Johnson, 30 under par. And even if he did beat Harris English by 11 strokes, come on, Harris English was 19 under par. Well, I say just for our purposes here, can we look back at some of the other scores that were shot on that golf course in previous years? Was Dustin Johnson's 30 under par is ridiculous, and I chalk that up to him just being in the zone for 4 days. So for our purposes, can we look at what the field did, starting with Harris English at 19 under par? Is that so out of whack for that golf course? Well, going back to the first time, and we're going back to Deutsche Bank Championship, winners have shot at that golf course, going back to 2003. Adam Scott, 20 under par. The next year, Vijay Singh, 16 under. Tiger Woods was 16 under in 2006, as was Phil Mickelson in 2007. Vijay Singh in 2008 was 22 under. Charlie Hoffman, 22 under in 2010. Rory McIlroy, 20 under in 2012. Henrik Stenson, 22 under, 2013. Bryson DeChambeau, the mad scientist, the guy who can just take apart any golf course with science, in 2018 was 16 under par. So, okay. I think what we're looking at here is a course where the winner is generally going to be somewhere between 16 and 22 under par, which in any other year for Harris English would have won in the golf tournament. He was 19 under par. The problem is he was playing with somebody who is so completely unbeatable over the course of 4 days. Dustin Johnson goes out and shoots the 30 under. So that, in a nutshell, is what makes it such an anomaly, that Dustin Johnson was so amazing for those 4 days. The rest of the field, they played the golf course as it normally plays. There's nothing to be ashamed of in terms of how the course was set up and the way it played over last weekend. It pretty much played like it always does. What wasn't the same was Dustin Johnson and the way he played over those 4 days, especially with that second round 60, where he made a string of pars on the way in. It's really those first five holes where he went 7 under that just absolutely blew everything out of the water. So that's where we stand with the current tournament, the BMW Championship, last week's Northern Trust. And as I say every time we talk about it, you know, here's to bringing this tournament back every year around Boston. I think Jay Monahan has said it, and other people have said it. Boston deserves a annual golf tournament. It shouldn't have to share it every other year with another golf course, whether it's the Northern Trust or something else. It's time to get back onto the rotation here on a yearly basis. Two other big stories in golf this week were Phil Mickelson and something that happened on the women's side of golf, which needs a little explanation on both sides of the argument. So we will do both of those items as we continue here this morning on the Sports Hub Golf Club.
We'll tee up more of the Sports Hub Golf Club in a moment on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome back to the Sports Hub Golf Club. Tyler Lagasse will be our guest this morning, coming up a little bit after 8:30. Two stories I want to get to here. Number one, Phil Mickelson, who was not playing in the BMW Championship, I should say. He was trying to avoid a long break from competitive golf as he gets ready for the U.S. Open at Winged Foot, which would be in a couple of weeks. So Phil Mickelson, now eligible for the Champions Tour, which, you know, we still call in, you know, casual conversation, the Senior Tour. Phil, now eligible for the Champions Tour, says, all right, if I'm eligible, let me go tee it up against, you know, some high-level competition and see how it goes. It's a three-round tournament, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday earlier this week. And he shot, a 566 on Wednesday. That got him to 22 under. So he won his first Champions Tour event three shots ahead of Tim Petrovic. That's it. Wire to wire. Led after the first round, led after the second round, and finished it off with a 66 on Wednesday in the three-round tournament to win at 22 under par. Mickelson, the 20th player to win on the 50 and over tour in his debut. This is also not anomalous. Somebody makes their debut on the Champions Tour and goes out there and wins. Oh, what a cool story. Yeah, 19 guys did it before Phil. But this is why the Champions Tour is great. You know, Phil misses the cut at the Northern Trust. He's out of the FedEx Cup playoffs. He still doesn't have the U.S. Open on his resume. You know, that's the one major that he is missing. If he wants to complete the career slam, he needs a U.S. Open victory. Time is running out. There's not a lot of 50 and over guys who would even be considered in contention at the U.S. Open. And your chances, thanks to Father Time, decrease almost exponentially with every year that you are over 50. So Phil needs some confidence. Where can I get it? How about a Champions Tour event? It's worked for 19 other guys who have made their debut on the Champions Tour, and it worked for Phil. Is it fair to the other guy? Of course it is. It happens a lot. And, okay, so the guy who lost by three strokes, Petrovic, he says, you know, sometimes you run into a buzzsaw, and I ran into a Phil buzzsaw this week because he made a lot of birdies. Yesterday I shot 31 on the front, and I don't think I picked up a shot, maybe one. So Phil's out there. He drives the par four, 340 yards, makes an eagle, and we're all like, okay, all right, that's enough. And then there are other guys who, if you've been following golf, you remember Rocco Mediate and his playoff with Tiger Woods. Rocco Mediate, if you've been following golf for years, you know who Rocco Mediate is and what a good guy he is, and how he's always saying something, you know, either funny or just pathologically honest. So someone asked Rocco Mediate, who is a mainstay on the Champions Tour, what it's like to have Phil out there. He said, who's going to be good enough this week with that rat here? And everyone laughs. He goes, no, it's cool to have him out. We played a practice round. It actually helped me play good, because you go out and play with Phil or against Phil, you've got to have it. It's fun to have to play a good practice round and having to play because I kept on carrying it. There you go. I mean, if Tiger ever plays Champions Tour, do you think he's going to maybe have a good shot at winning his debut? Most likely. That's what happens. That's what happens on that tour. It's kind of what it's there for, in part. Give guys like Phil a chance to keep their game together and still make starts on the PGA Tour, but get some confidence and keep their game sharp in a situation like this where you miss the cut, but you still want to play in the U.S. Open, and you got to keep your game sharp. All right. A story earlier this week. Sofia Popov, who is a name that you're not expected to know, a Symetra Tour player. We've talked about the Symetra Tour on this show many times over the years. It is essentially the smaller tour, the feeder tour for the LPGA. And I used to take my daughter to the Symetra Tour events. There were a couple of them that were held at Thorny Lee in Brockton. And it's just, it's phenomenal. You know, I've said it so many times before. If you are an average player like I am and you want to improve your game and you want to emulate someone, don't emulate Dustin Johnson or even, you know, Phil Mickelson or any of these guys. Try and emulate the swings and the tempos and the course management that you see from top women players. Now, you can't do that either, and I can't do what they do either, but at least there is something more tangible in the way they play the game that I feel that I and a lot of other average players can aspire to. The way they manage the golf course, the just purity with which they strike the ball, and quite frankly, the tempo and the balance that so many of these women play with, it's just phenomenal. So Sofia Popov wins a big tournament at Royal Troon. This is a major tournament for the, they don't call it the British Open, they call it something else. I don't know. What is supposed to happen? If you're an LPGA Tour player, you get a 5-year exemption for the LPGA Tour. Okay? She was not an LPGA Tour player. As a Symetra Tour player who had qualified for this major tournament, her victory at Royal Troon only got her a 2-year exemption. And a lot of people sounded off on this. Like, what sense does this make? She wins. Why doesn't she get all the stuff that any winner would get? And Ian Poulter chiming in. You know, what is this BS? You know, change this now. Give Sofia Popov her 5-year exemption on the LPGA Tour. She's obviously good enough. She just won a major. She should get what any LPGA player would get. So what if she's only on the Symetra Tour? She's ready. Give her what an LPGA Tour player would get. And I heard that, and I'm like, yeah, that's not fair. She should get it. Well, listen to what Mike Wan says, and he is the LPGA Tour commissioner, before you go flying off the handle and say that Sofia Popov somehow got screwed in this scenario.
With regards to 2 years versus 5 years, I keep getting these texts and emails that said, this has never happened before, Mike. Come on, you're smarter than this. Non-members don't win majors, and they ought to get longer. Well, this does happen before. It happened last year at the AIG Women's Open. Hanaka Shibuna was a non-member who won the AIG Women's Open Championship. She had a 2-year exemption in the LPGA offer and a five years in majors. Inji Chen at the U.S. Women's Open. Hyoju Kim at the Evian. I've been commissioner 11 years. I've seen plenty of non-member wins at majors, and I've seen almost all of those non-members go on to long and storied careers on the LPGA. Again, you may not like that regulation, and I'll be the first to admit, I'm going to think about that in the off season, which is when we reassess all of our regulations. And maybe we should feel differently about somebody from the Symetra Tour or the LET because it comes from a LPGA-run tour. Maybe we should feel different about non-member wins at majors, period. And I'll definitely look at that. What I won't do is change a regulation in the middle of the season. What I won't do is change a regulation the Monday after an emotional win. What I won't do is try to explain why I did that this year, and I didn't do that last year. I did it to this year's winner, but I didn't do it to 2019 winner. What I will do is look at that regulation long term. I'll commit to that because I think that's a fair question, but not going to do that in the middle of the year, not going to do that the Monday after. That's not the right way to run a sport. Quite frankly, not the fairest way to treat your athletes. When they tee it up on Monday, they ought to know what those wins earn, and you shouldn't change what those wins earn the Monday after they actually earned it. So,
Okay, you changed my mind. Now, this is kind of, I feel kind of close to this just because I have maybe more familiarity with like the Symetra Tour than a lot of people do because I've actually attended some events. And I think it's I think the women who play on it, you know, deserve every opportunity. My friend Scott, his wife Suki, is a fantastic golfer and a professional at Winchester and a Symetra Tour player. and has made some starts, you know, at the LPGA level. And, you know, if she were in that position and she had won, you know, I'd be jumping up and down saying, yes, 5-year exemption. You hear Mike Wan explain it like that? Like, God, he makes a lot of good points. He makes a lot of good points. So if you're following, and again, I'm not trying to convince you to follow a sport that you don't already follow. But as a golfer, I think it's interesting and maybe give a tiny bit of attention to the women's game because they are fantastic players. And when stories like this pop up, I think it speaks to just sports in general more than it does necessarily an LPGA story, because it is about fairness and it is about following rules that are in place and not changing those rules mid-season, because it impacts a lot of other players. And you take that into consideration. Mike Wan, LPGA commissioner, makes some excellent points there. Tyler Lagasse, I'll give you his whole rundown here. I spoke with him earlier in the week, the number of medals that he's won in the Special Olympics, both at the national level and at the state level, and a way that you can challenge Tyler right now in golf. I will warn you, this man can play, and just yesterday he made a hole in one. So I know what Tony Maz would say, largely useless. Let's just say this guy can play. So I spoke with him earlier in the week. You will hear our conversation, next here on the Sports Hub Golf Club.
Consider us your radio caddy, the Sports Hub Golf Club on 88.5, the Sports Hub.
Joining us now in the Sports Hub Golf Club is Tyler Lagasse, who has a very impressive resume. Tyler, 3-time silver medalist at Special Olympics USA Games, gold medalist at the state level. Tyler shot a 74 at the 2019 state tournament at Stowe Acres. And from what I hear, Tyler, you've been playing pretty well recently, too. So, first of all, thanks for being on the show.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure being here.
So, Tyler, you're doing a virtual golf challenge right now where, since we can't get together and play golf in big groups like we're used to, you're having people go online and challenge you and put their scores up against your scores. Is that about right?
Basically, all I'm doing is just playing golf, whether it's all by myself or with somebody. Doesn't matter, as long as people are joining me, which is basically away from where I'm physically located.
Gotcha. Well, there's a link that I will tweet out, and everybody can follow it, at Hardy985. But in terms of your golf, Tyler, I understand you've been playing pretty well recently.
I was playing 18 holes at Long Meadow in Lowell to prepare myself for the Lowell Men's City Golf Tournament.
Oh, all right. How'd you do in that round?
I shot a 76. I actually made a few birdies here and there.
Wow. Wow. 76. That's fantastic. I also understand you made an eagle recently. When did that happen?
It happened at Stowe Acres on Saturday. Can I explain this in greater detail for you?
Oh, I wish you would. I love hearing about stuff like this.
Well, it was I was playing on the south course. It's an elevated par 5. Like 500 yards from the white tees, and I used a driver. I hit a perfect right to left cut fade.
Are you a righty or a lefty, Tyler?
I'm left-handed.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, good.
And anyway, my drive had to be at least 300 yards. I had like half a dozen witnesses, including my dad. And I hit my second shot with a 7-iron. I hit that one a little bit to the right of my intended target, as I would say. My ball was headed right front bunker, as I would say, but I went over it and I hit it pin high, like 10 feet away. And sure enough, I made the eagle putt from, which was like a right to left break.
So you're at a 500 yard par 5. You hit driver, 7-iron, and then make the eagle putt.
Yes, that's correct.
That is unbelievable.
Well, actually, it was a very good 7-iron. I had my driver at least 300 yards. My second shot was measured at like 170-something yards, and I figured I used the club appropriate for that distance, which was a 7-iron. Basically, it was like a calculated risk. But thankfully, I made good enough contact, and the ball cut right to left on me. And thankfully, the ball made the green, and I made the putt.
Now, Tyler, I'm always interested to talk to really good golfers like you. Do you still have a favorite club in your bag? I know a golfer like me, I know I do, but I'm not as good as you. Do you still have favorite clubs in your bag?
Well, I wouldn't call it my favorite club. I would call it the club I use most often. The club that I practice the most with, I use like a certain lob wedge, like a 58-degree wedge. I practice it a lot in my backyard. I shoot it over the family pool sometimes.
Yep, and it's always good to practice the short game anyway. And I've always heard, Tyler, that if we all had to pick up our own range balls, we would all hit a lot more wedges and 9-irons, and we would hit everything a lot straighter too, wouldn't we?
Yes.
Well, listen, Tyler, like I said, I am going to tweet out the link here so everybody can follow it and log on and see if they want to compete against you. It's a pretty cool idea. It's called the Gold Medal Golf Challenge. You submit your scores. You go up against Tyler's scorecards. And I just want to warn everyone that Tyler has put up some pretty low scores lately, including at one course that I think is your home course. Which one is that, Tyler?
Oh, I do most of my playing at Nabnassett Lake Country Club in Westford. I shot 73 and 77 at the Lowell Men's City Qualifiers about a week and a half ago.
Wow. So 73 and 77 at Nabnassett. And there's some other low scores on there that you're going to have to contend with if you want to go up against Tyler in this gold medal challenge. I mean, we're talking about a silver medalist and a couple of gold medal winners in the Special Olympics. But Tyler, your game is unbelievable. I'm very envious of you and your game right now. So I hope some people decide to join and donate and challenge you in this this gold medal challenge, because I think it's a great way to compete and still social distance. And what else can I say other than Tyler Lagasse, thank you so much for being on the show, and continued success out there on the golf course, buddy.
Yeah, thank you very much. I most appreciate it.
All right, so that was Tyler, my conversation with him earlier this week. And if you follow me on Twitter at Hardy985, you'll see what I tweeted out last night. This is from Special at SP Olympics MA, Special Olympics Mass. 3-time USA Games silver medalist Tyler Lagasse got a hole-in-one today at Nabnassett Lake Country Club. And then, I didn't even see this part of it. Capturing tomorrow morning on the Sports Hub Golf Club. Oh, that's nice. There's a video of him, like, going up to the hole, which is just, this guy is unbelievable. And I will get, like, the link is right there, actually. So if you follow me on Twitter, and you see the last thing I tweeted out last night, you'll see the link there. And you can even just Google, like, Tyler Lagasse. It's Lagasse. Gold medal challenge, and you'll see the links pop up like via Facebook and stuff. But it's very easy. It says right there, how's this going to work? Well, Tyler's been golfing all summer, created a course in his backyard to keep practicing. And what you do when you register, you'll submit your scores and see how you match up against Tyler. And there's a chance to win prizes, a weekly prize, a monthly prize, an overall grand prize. And you can just join the community and get in on what essentially is a great way to benefit Special Olympics and to, you know, go up against the best. The Tyler is playing some amazing golf right now. It's a cool idea. It's a great way to compete right now when it's difficult to gather together and compete in some other, I guess, more traditional tournaments, which I have with Special Olympics, but this is just a new way of doing it this year. I think it's a great idea. So congrats, Tyler, on your hole-in-one. And the eagle a couple of weeks ago and all these rounds in the 70s. I just, you know, it's like the guy I played with yesterday. I'll tell you more about my round yesterday. I'm not going to tell you about my round. I'm going to tell you about someone else's round. But whether it's this this round I played yesterday or the way Tyler's playing right now, these guys are just playing a different game than me. You know, it's just, I don't know how he does it. Good for him, though. All right, we'll be back to wrap things up here in just a few minutes.
This is the show that helps you put it in the hole. The Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Back to wrap things up here on the Sports Hub Golf Club. Got a tweet a few minutes ago from Mike. Says, Hardy, I want to take up golf, but want lessons beforehand. Smart, Mike. My God. The smartest thing I've ever heard. Any thought of where to take lessons? I'm from Revere, love the golf show. It's a cliche, but you know, contact your local PGA professional. I mean, number one, if you know, seriously, it can be as simple, Mike, as finding a course near you, right? Or just whether it's a driving range or a golf course, and just walk up and say, I'm here to ask about lessons, right? And there are different ways of doing it. There are dedicated practice facilities like Core Golf in Natick. There's, you know, places like the Harmon Club, which is a course, but also like a hardcore training facility down in Rockland. There's places like, you know, Atkinson that has like a whole separate facility just for instruction and training and stuff like that. But the fact that you want lessons before you go out and play is the smartest thing you could do. I mean, if you've ever swung a golf club and can hit a ball or anything, great. Get somebody, get a PGA professional, get a certified instructor to teach you the game. And it'll be the best thing you can do, and will make you enjoy the game that much more. Speaking of the Harmon Club, I did play yesterday, and going back, like, you remember like a month or so ago, Tucker, when I kind of like announced that I was going to start taking lessons again, and like this single digit project was going to be started up again. Did I actually say that out loud? Did I say that on the air on one of these shows?
Probably.
All right. So I did start. Okay. And I may have mentioned it a week or two ago with my local PGA professional at the club where I play, which is the Cape Club in Sharon. And I've had many tips over the years and many things, you know, like a lesson. My home course before this one, George Wright Golf Course, I did take just a short game lesson from Joe Leary. I can't remember like all the pros who have given me like kind of like just a quick, you know, type of tune-up lesson. Dan Boisvert out at Core Golf. We did like wedge work one day. Scott Allen from George Wright also has given me like, you know, a shorter lesson before. But this is the first time in a long time when I actually scheduled, showed up, you know, how much, thank you, and with my local and home course professional, Stephen Daly, at the Cape Club. And we got on the range and we started working. And the things that we worked on and the questions that I had, and I tried desperately. Oh my God. It's so tough for me just to keep my mouth shut about and not say what I think I know about my swing or things that I've heard. Just listen, just be coachable, be teachable. Right. And something started working and it I'm not going to try and get into the explanation of what Stephen has me working on right now. It is one very specific, very basic. Any good player would already be doing this type of move in the swing, but it's what I need to work on. So I'm working on it, and I'm feeling better about my ball striking, specifically my iron play, right? I'm playing yesterday. Am I going to blow up anybody's spot? Look, my friend Tony, who I've talked about before, and Maz, and this other guy who's been on the show before, Scott Hawley, who is an instructor. I mentioned him earlier in the show. His wife, Suki, is a professional as well. Hawley teaches at the Harmon Club. Scott used to be on the Canadian tour. finished runner-up in the Mass Open. Very good player. That doesn't play anymore, like anybody else. You know, he's played five times this year or something. So he shows up yesterday. Maz is already BS. I can't believe you're bringing this guy out here to make us look like fools. I'm like, he's not going to make us look like fools. He doesn't play anymore. Scott shot it. We go back one tee box when I normally play. So we're playing from the golds. Scott shoots a 33 on the front. And admittedly blew up a little bit on the back. He was one over on the back. He was two under for the day. He shot a 70. Maz did not stick around and have a lemonade with us afterward. We counted up afterwards. Scott had 7 birdie putts inside of 4 feet. 7 times he had trees in his way. He made eagle from the trees on number 5 yesterday. The best part was watching Maz get so pissed off. Because Maz can play. He's a good player. But not compared to that guy. But Scott gave me one thing he told me, like toward the end of the round. Because I told him what Stephen Daly, the head pro there, and I had been working on. And Scott's also an instructor. And, you know, normally this would be like, heresy, don't give somebody a golf tip in the middle of the round. Well, I told him what we were working on, and he didn't add to it. He didn't change anything. He just gave me one feel, right? And if you've taken a lesson, you know what I mean? You got to feel something. And you know, Stephen has told me what to feel. Scott gave me just one additional feel, and it was great. So careful of stuff like that, though. I know Scott for a long time. I trust him. And, you know, professional to professional, I'm sure Stephen wouldn't have a problem with this feel that he told me about. But to Mike or anyone else who wants to take up the game and you want to take a lesson, go to one guy, do what he tells you, and don't do anything else. Don't read Golf Digest, the lessons. Don't watch any lessons on the Golf Channel. Don't do anything else. Go to your guy, listen to him, do what he tells you to do, and good things will start to happen. I was down to a 10.3 for a minute. I'm back up to a 10.8, but single-digit project still there. All right, I got to go. We got hockey today, and the hockey show's coming up next. I'm going to do the headlines here, and then the hockey show will be coming up next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.